Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard. What are we, 17 days away now from the season opener? I'm starting to get a little bit excited. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the first segment of the show. I get it. It's so incredibly difficult at times to get excited when you're not expecting a big year. Right? I mean, like in 15, right, we'd had that great year in 14. We thought we'd be pretty good in 14. We ended up being number one in the country for a stretch. Then you get Dak back for 15, a lot of pieces around him, easy to get excited. We hire Mike Leach, easy to get excited, right? So I get it. You know, for the last decade, it has been a little more difficult to go into the season being jacked. I mean, in 2020, we were jacked just to have college football, right? But the reality of it is that our fans at times haven't had a lot to look forward to in football. That's why that 13-year bowl streak meant so much to us, because, you know, we typically have not been great in football. And then we have a stretch, and, you know, we reach a postseason every year and just felt like, you know what, hey, we're happy to be here, but we want to get over the hump. But at least every year, you know, for a dozen or so years, you expected to be able to take a bowl trip. And then headed into this year, you realize it's going to take an upset, possibly two, for that to happen. And so I get it's a little bit difficult at times to have some exuberance about all this. But I'm starting to get there. And, of course, I'm around the team. You know, we get a chance to see a little practice from time to time. We get some media availability with players. And so their energy is kind of beginning to rub off on me just a little bit. Yeah, starting to get there. You know, I remember before the 2024 baseball season, I told you guys that I was, you know, no longer just cautiously optimistic, but just optimistic. I'm not quite there yet with this football team, but I will tell you, I'm not dreading football season maybe like I was a couple months ago. And that's just being honest with you guys, because I thought, you know what, if we have another year like last year, I just don't know if I can take it, right? I know many of you feel the same way. I mean, you make such an investment financially and emotionally into Mississippi State sports, and football is a big one. Right? I mean, we may have some niche sports that we all love. You know, I love baseball. I think, obviously, it's difficult to argue against our tradition. And at times, possibly, that we've underachieved. I think that's fair to say. We've done some great things, not enough of them. On the men's basketball side, right, we have some fans that's their favorite sport. They think that March Madness is the greatest thing that happens on the sports calendar, and that's completely okay. But we haven't had a ton of tradition in men's basketball either. It's true. Some people don't want to admit it, but it's true. But we all want it so bad, right? It doesn't matter which sport it is. We want Mississippi State to be successful. We love the logo, right? We cheer for the logo. As we saw last year, as the Mississippi State soccer team did some historic things, you had a lot of people that weren't even fans of the game that began to go to games or watch games online. Went out and bought apparel because something great was happening at Mississippi State. They wanted to be supportive of that, right? We got some great fans. We do. We do. We don't have the corner of the market on that. We got some great fans. We got some people, it doesn't matter what it is. I remember when we won a NAFL championship in bass fishing or something. You know, people were jacked about that. you know, frisbee golf, all that kind of stuff. I mean, anything that is positive news for Mississippi State, we cheer for that. And my hope is we get some on the football side this year. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. And for you Jones Countyans, you'll be happy to know that my cousin, Joe Michael Robertson, was in Bulldog Burger Company today. Some people call him Joe. I refuse. I refuse. He's Joe Michael to me. He always has been. We used to get out in front of Granny's yard out there on Augusta Road and play some wiffle ball and things like that. Man, we had so many great memories. And as fate would have it, my youngest son, Ian, got to be the server today for Joe Michael and his group. And so I'll tell you this, if Bulldog Burger Company is good enough for Joe Michael Robertson, it is good enough for you. You need to come take part in that, whether you're in town or on the way to town. Bulldog Burger Company is the place to stop to break bread. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you better looking. I'm kind of craving a Pimentology ad bacon. Matter of fact, we may have that for dinner. I don't know yet. We may. But the reality of it is that when you need a great meal with some consistency, right? You know exactly what to order and what to expect, and it always meets or exceeds your expectations, you go to Bulldog Burger Company. I guarantee if you ask the kids, where do you want to eat? Well, Bulldog Burger Company is going to be the first choice, and it's the best choice. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you it's going to be a great year. I mean, I'd love that to be the case, as would you, right? But I get a little tired of all of this humdrum, woe is us attitude. But I can deal with that a little bit more than some of these pot shots that come from some of these walk-on media types. It's one thing, you know, like if Pete Thamel says something, I'm just like, well, you know, I know Pete. I trust Pete. You know, Pete's a guy that's been an objective observer of college football for many years. You just kind of got to take that, right? Andy Staples, people like that. You know, Andy and I watched a U.S. men's national soccer game together in Bradenton, Florida one night. Yeah. So when people have qualified opinions, you just kind of got to take it, right? And even then, they don't know everything. And with the transfer portal, we all know even less, especially with the national pundits. And what I mean by that is, how many practices do you think anybody in the national college football media have taken in at Mississippi State this year? I'm going to just tell you, it's none. None. How many of people in the national college football media have broken down film on all of our incoming players from the transfer portal? Well, I would say very few, right? And I would say those that did probably didn't do the full class. And so I share that not in any way to discredit people, but to kind of explain the territory in which we're navigating now. Nobody truly knows who has what, especially for teams like ours that are rebuilding. You just don't know. You know, there's some teams out there that return a strong nucleus of players, you know, guys that have maybe veteran quarterbacks with a couple of years under their belt. Well, that makes a lot of sense. This is a guy that's going to know the offense, going to know the personnel around him, knows how to navigate through the Southeastern Conference, or perhaps another power conference out there. So that makes a lot of sense. You know, that's a pretty fair bet, right? A pretty easy bet on top of it. But the reality of it is that most teams out there got a lot of question marks. Most. And like I read people, like everybody's like jumping on the Alabama thing. And I think, again, like we discussed on the Monday show, we're breaking down the top 25. I think a lot of people just kind of feel like, well, at some point, Alabama's got to be Alabama again. Well, Mike Shula may disagree with you, right? Ray Perkins might disagree with you. Because Alabama's had some ups and downs, too. You know, Nick Saban's a once-in-a-lifetime type coach. And so things change a lot. And when you want to, do you want to be the guy following the guy? You know, Kalen DeBoer said, okay, I'll give it a shot. Year one wasn't great. That guy won a lot of games at Washington. He's not a bad football coach. It's a different brand of athlete here that you're recruiting. It's a different brand of athlete that you're playing against. So there's going to be an adjustment. Even Urban Meyer, as great as he was, and he was probably the hottest name in coaching at the time, arguably one of the hottest coaching names in the last 20 years. Yeah, he builds it up at Bowling Green and heads over to Utah. The next thing you know, everybody's like, well, who's going to hire Urban Meyer? Because we all got a chance to watch him. It felt like Utah was on TV every Thursday night. And you got to see this new, very innovative offense. Run a lot of spread option stuff, and eventually just called it spread. And he goes to Florida, and then immediately everybody says, including me, I thought, you know what, I don't know if it's going to work. Because linebackers in the SEC are a lot faster than what they are in some of these lesser conferences. Defensive ends are a lot rangier. Those guys can set the edge. And it's like, hey, I don't know that Urban's offense is going to work in the Southeastern Conference. And there were a lot of people that said that. Tons of people said that. And I think it was a fair assessment. They had to make some adjustments, obviously. You got to account for your personnel and everybody else's. And everybody kind of tweaks a little bit, too. It's one thing to do it in the Mountain West. It's another thing to do it in the Southeastern Conference. And, people kind of forget. You know, like Urban Meyer takes over after Ron Zook is fired. And Zook never had a losing season in Florida, ever. He was only there for 3 years, and of course, he got croomed, right? No four. But, 3 1-in seasons, 3 bowl losses, but, no seasons more than 8 wins. 8-5, 8-5, 8-5, 7-5. So then Urban Meyer comes in. They go 9-3, counting the Outback game, the bowl game. But there were a lot of people that just thought, you know what, this is just going to be kind of a weird adjustment for Florida. They ended up the year, number 12 in the AP poll. But I remember, just as sure as I'm sitting here, Florida gets out to the 4-0 start. They beat number 5 Tennessee in the Swamp. Do you remember that game? 5-6, the first big showdown of the Urban Meyer era. They win it by the score of 16-7. And that's people like, well, yeah, they won, but, well, then they just go up there and just blast Kentucky in Lexington. And then they get number 15 Alabama in Bryant-Denny. Do you remember this game? Some of you are too young to remember this. Happened 20 years ago. Alabama steamrolled Florida, 31-3. They bounce back, beat us, and then they go to Tiger Stadium, lose a tightly contested game, 21-17. And then to kind of, throw a little, salt in the wounds, they had to go to double overtime against Vanderbilt. And goodness, the week before, that they did beat Florida, 14-10. That should be Georgia, 14-10. Big win. A lot to get excited about, but again, not a huge offensive performance. And then they go double OT with Vandy. They win that game and then lose the next week at South Carolina. And so even with everything that was going good, there were a lot of concerns about the offense. There were. You may have a revisionist history about that, but it's true. And then all of a sudden you look at 2006. They did what they needed to do. They lose one regular season game at Auburn, 27-17. And then they win the national championship, beating Ohio State. Finished number one, win the SEC, put a 13-1 record up. So I'm not in any way suggesting that's going to happen with Jeff Levy, Mississippi State this year. But there typically is an adjustment from year one to year two. A more recent example. It's hard for me to believe Kirby Smart's younger than me. It's hard to believe that. But it's true. I remember that transition when the players begin to be younger than you. And then now the coaches are. And now the players are younger than your kids. Yeah, it's interesting. But, Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart takes over at Georgia. And I remember it, again, just like yesterday. Year one at Georgia, 2016. the Georgia Bulldogs went 7-5 in the regular season. They win the Liberty Bowl to finish 8-5. And people were like, you know what? Kirby's just not up to what he should be. This is just not, you know, hey, this ain't going to work, man. You know, Kirby's now out of the shadow of Nick Saban and everything, and it's pretty clear that that Nick was shielding him. And here's kind of looking back at year one with Kirby. They get off to a 3-0 start. They beat a ranked North Carolina team, Nicholls State, and they win at Missouri. And it was a close one. They win 28-27 in Missouri. Think about that. They lose that game. Be 6-6. You know what else is interesting, too? They beat Nicholls State 26-24. Nicholls State. The Colonels nearly march into Samford and come out with a dub. But all three of those first games were close. And then they travel to number 23, Ole Miss. Now, I don't know if you remember much about that Ole Miss team of 2016. I've got pretty good recollections of all that stuff, as you guys may recall. But at the time, Ole Miss was ranked 23rd in the country. And again, not a great Ole Miss team. A lot of things were going around, right? A lot of things were happening, you know, with that group. But, Ole Miss just didn't do much that year. What, they won 5 games? Yeah, 5-7 that year. But they absolutely destroyed Georgia on the football field. Georgia goes into Vault Hemingway and gets beat 45-14. I mean, it was an absolute debacle. The next week, they lose a tight win against Tennessee. They win at South Carolina and then lose at home to Vanderbilt. Then they lose to Florida. Put it together later in the year. They win at Kentucky, a close one. They beat Auburn 13-7, another close one. They eke by Lafayette 35-21. They lose Georgia Tech, and then they win that bowl game 31-23. But all those games, other than the time that Ole Miss took Georgia out behind the woodshed, all those games were competitive. They were. And so people were like, you know what? It's not going to work out with Kirby Smart. You know, he's going to be Mark Richt 2.0. You know what happened the next year? Georgia played for a national championship. True story. They win the SEC East back when we used to have that, right? They went 7-1 in conference and then overall go 13-2. They win the SEC championship game against Auburn. Beat Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl as part of the FBS playoff, and then advanced to the NAFL championship game where they lost to Alabama. But, I say that, again, because not all of the pundits are going to be right. Some are going to be proven to be correct. You know, it's a 50-50 proposition. Either you're right or you're wrong. And so I'm not in any way forecasting that Jeff Levy's about to take Mississippi State to the playoff. That's not in any way what I'm suggesting. I'm just pointing out that some of the best coaches in the sport, and certainly within our conference in the last couple decades, have had some of these first-year struggles. Not the way Jeff Levy did. Of course, they didn't lose their starting quarterback 3.5 games into the season. But all that understood, things change in year two. And, of course, those coaches did not have the benefit of the transfer portal. And so that's one of the reasons that people are so quick to make a coaching change is because, hey, with some investment and benefit of the transfer portal, we got a chance to turn this thing around rather quickly. And that was one of the things that Leb said in his interview, that he felt like he could flip the roster rather quickly. Did some of it last year, maybe not as much as we should have. It's a completely different roster this year, say 15 players. So I can talk myself into almost anything. I know you guys probably feel the same way because, you know, sometimes you have blind allegiance. And there's another segment of our fan base, too, that no matter what we do is wrong. You know, I get it. I'm sure that's the case in all fan bases. You know, we don't have the corner of the market on that either. But I would like to just kind of formally suggest here, this could be better than we think. Could be. It could be. And, again, we've gone through the schedule many times on this show. We won't do it again today. And people are like, they're trying to hype up the Southern Miss game. You know, and here's the thing about that. That's really a criticism of State, not praise of Southern Miss. And again, Southern Miss went 1-11 last year. We expect them to be a better team. However, the voters in the Sun Belt preseason poll think they'll be just slightly better. I don't know if you've kept up with this at all. In the Sun Belt Conference preseason picks, Southern Miss is picked 5th in the Western Division. 5th. Narrowly edging out Troy, and Louisiana Monroe brings up the rear there. But what's interesting about all this is they got the 5th fewest points in the Sun Belt Conference. So that's a 14-team league. And so they're basically picking them to finish 9th or 10th in the conference in what hadn't been a great football conference. Maybe you've kept up with that, I don't know. However, the preseason pick for Offensive Player of the Year is former Marshall quarterback Braylon Braxton, of course, that's now at Southern Miss. And so that's interesting. It's a newcomer, right? That's a big part of it. He was the newcomer of the year in the conference last year at Marshall. Did some good things. Took care of the football, as we discussed before. But getting a little deeper into this thing, of course, Braylon Braxton picked first-team offense. You'd expect that as the preseason offensive player of the year. He is the only player on the first-team offense that is expected to suit up for Southern Miss. On defense, Southern Miss has two preseason defensive players on the first team. Bradarius Lewis, a grad transfer, and then Josh Moten, obviously, who came in from Marshall. Got Mississippi State recruited. Return specialist Ian Foster makes the first team special team selection. You get into second team and you think, okay, well, there'll be a bunch here, right? No. Tight end Kyron Heath from Southern Miss, a senior from Mansfield, Texas, is the lone Golden Eagle on the second team offense. So surely there'll be a bunch on the second team defense, right? No. Not a single player. And so again, the voting in the Sun Belt Conference was voted on by the coaches. I don't know if they had a media vote. I went to Conference USA Media Days one time and we didn't get to vote. So I don't know what the Sun Belt does, but looking at Southern Miss, they were the only team in the Western Division not to get a vote to win the Western Division. Well, I guess it's not technically true. They were the first team. So 5, 6, and 7, Southern Miss, Troy, and Louisiana Monroe did not get votes to win the West. And so, again, they're picked 5th in their division within a conference that's not necessarily a great football conference, probably a better baseball conference than it is a football conference. And so that's just to kind of illustrate the point. This chatter about this game that's coming up here in 17 days is really more about a lack of faith in Mississippi State. And for that matter, in Jeff Lebby. Granted, we're still an SEC team. Even though we're picked last in the SEC, we got SEC athletes. And we're about to go play a Sun Belt team on the road. And granted, it's not a typical Sun Belt team because, number one, it's an in-state school. And Charles Huff, of course, former Bulldog assistant, going to be extra motivated. Not to mention, it's the first game of a new era. We're going to see everything. We're going to see fake punts and onside kicks, and we're going to see everything. I think a main thing for us is to survive that first quarter. I just don't think in the end that they're going to have the athletes capable of slowing down this Bulldog running game. And you got to pass it enough to keep the linebackers and safeties honest because they'll just walk down in a box if you don't and kind of commit themselves. And, of course, that's kind of picking your poison. I think that's what Jeff Lebby wants, want to establish the run game and then get those safeties to creep up. Because if they're playing too high safeties, it's going to be difficult to take that shot over the top. But you got to throw enough to kind of keep them out of the box and keep them in a decision-making process. You got to put the linebackers in conflict. And when I think about the fact that we're returning, so much in the running game, and again, I think it's important to understand that aspect of it, that we are we're a team that didn't get to run it maybe last year as much as we wanted to because of the fact we're chasing the game so much. That's one of the most important things. You know, we talked about that recently. The first quarters were dreadful for Mississippi State last year. We only scored 65 points in 12 games in the first quarter. Very important to think about. But then you go back and you think about this aspect of it. I never know what's going to happen with these attachments. It's always something silly. Always. I had it up, and then all of a sudden, it decided to change on me. You know, modern problems, I guess, or you know, whatever they want to call it. But you know, looking back at this, you know, Kevon Lee is not with us, right? And that's okay. You know, Kevon was the guy that stood out last year, and that was really more about just kind of being a veteran guy and having so many pieces around him. You know, Jeffrey Pittman was the guy that we expected to do some big things for us, ended up not playing now at Southern Miss. You know, and so that's something to kind of consider as we get into this. But when I look at this, you know, the running game for Mississippi State and the fact that we made such a commitment to kind of beef up the offensive line, I just don't think Southern Miss has the depth to withstand that. Rushing attack last year, you know, Davin Booth, get him back, or Devon Booth, 152 carries, 759 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Johnny Daniels had 540 yards on 108 carries and 4 touchdowns. All right, so you're returning almost 1,300 yards between those two guys. And then Xavier Gayton, of course, it didn't play a ton last year, had carries in 4 games, a little bit explosive, right? He had learned the nuance of the position. And now you add Fluff Bothwell to this mix, it makes a difference. You know, so basically you're trading out Kevon Lee for Fluff Bothwell in a running game that was pretty good when given the opportunity to showcase itself. But when you're already down 2 scores at half and then they come out and tack on a 3rd score, you know, you get a little predictable, a little one-dimensional on offense. And so, yeah, I expect to win that game. And a lot of people are talking about, well, the line keeps coming down. Well, you know, Vegas is smart in what they do, right? And I don't care if we win it 10 points, 20 points, or 50 points. I'd love to win it big just because it would ignite the fan base. But, of course, there's that segment of people. And in this situation, you're probably right. You know, the same people praising Southern Miss and Charles Huff right now will defend him if State beats them severely in Hattiesburg in week one. They'll say, well, Steve, it's just game one. You're not going to learn a lot. And they're right. But I think it's important to kind of go into this thing and manage the emotions of the game because we're just so ready. And you hear it from talking to players. They're just so ready to get back on the field and kind of wipe away the bad feelings of last year. And so we got to get on the field, got to be prepared early on. I suspect if I'm Southern Miss, you got nothing to lose, right? I mean, I'm going to come out and throw a double pass or something on that first drive. I'm going to try to get something to get my segment of the fan base excited. And, again, there's a lot of Southern Miss people that are electing not to go to the game. Tickets are still available, and there's a lot of Mississippi State folks buying those tickets. And so I just want you to kind of understand how this all kind of plays out for us. We go down there, probably take over the stadium. I suspect there will be a lot of us there. We won't have cowbells, obviously. It's a road game, unless you sneak them in, but you probably will lose them forever. I would never want to part with any of my cowbells, even though I have about 25 of them. They're all precious to me. But understand, when you hear this talk about, well, the line's coming down, that could be an upset. You know, a lot of that, again, has really nothing to do with Southern Miss. It is about a lack of faith in our Bulldogs. If you win that game big, it's helpful. We've got to build some confidence. You know, we won that game against Eastern Kentucky big. I don't expect anything like that, right? They got some power transfers at Southern Miss, too. You know, I just don't know if they've got the depth to kind of handle it. They'll make some plays early, but we got to navigate through that first quarter and feel pretty good about ourselves. You remember the UMass game, we get down 10-0 in battle back and won in a blowout. I won't be surprised if it's that kind of game. I don't want it to be that kind of a game, but I could see them coming out because it took us a while to make some adjustments defensively, and once we did, we were okay. But we got to be ready to go. And then the one thing you could probably expect is Charles Huff is going to run a lot of what he ran at Marshall last year, since he's bringing so many of those players. I think it was 20 transfers, including the quarterback. So they're going to run things that they ran last year that the quarterback was comfortable with. But because they have a quality quarterback, I do expect them to stay in that game early. But he doesn't play defense. You know, that's one of those things you begin to kind of work through and think about. You know, as bad as our defense was last year, and it was historically bad, Southern Miss's defense was worse, playing against lesser competition. You aware of that? Yeah, it's true. Giving up 37.8 points a game. It's a field goal more than we gave up. But you look at the numbers here. You know, 449 yards a game. You know, State's right there at 456. But the reality of it is this is a defensive unit that needed to be rejuvenated, restocked. Mississippi State has done that. Southern Miss has tried to do that as well. Southern Miss doesn't have the money to work with that State does. If you would like to think that we've done a good job upgrading our level of talent. But, again, I'm eager to get this game behind us, not because I'm worried about the game. I'm just worried about the collective Bulldog psyche. You win this game 1-0, for all I care, 2-0. I guess it's the only way you could do it. Just get the dub, right? Get a win. I'd like to win impressively, but I just want to get a win. And, of course, if we win it by 3 points or something, we're going to have to hear about that. You know, that inflames the negative portion of our fan base. The same people, of course, that are expecting us to lose. But the rest of it is you get Arizona State coming in next week, and they're going to have a good quarterback. You know, we're going to have to play well. Kenny Dillingham's a great coach, as last year is evidence of that. But that's also a bit of hope for us, too. You saw what Dillingham and those guys did in the portal last year and how quickly they turned that thing around. You know, perhaps the same could be said for Mississippi State. Not expecting us to get to the playoff, understand, but a lot can change in a year. All right, time for our player of the day, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. His phone number, in case you don't have it, is 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Go ahead and save it in your phone. You never know when you're going to have mortgage needs, and just put mortgage guy, right? Blair Chandler, mortgage guy, right? Because sometimes life throws you a curveball and you got to relocate. Maybe there's a change in jobs, a change in your family situation, change in your relationship status. I don't know your needs, but I do know this, that Blair Chandler can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. Visit him at closeofblair.com. Get his 24 years of know-how and expertise working for you. You'll be glad you did. If you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, don't overthink it. It's a life hack. Just call Blair. Just call him. Make it simple on yourself. Take a lot of guesswork out of this. Just deal with a mortgage professional, Blair Chandler. Our player of the day is Fluff Bothwell. We hadn't talked about him enough. You know, he was one of the top running backs in the NCAA transfer portal. There's a reason that we went out and got him. Of course, we weren't sure what was going to happen with Devon Booth at that time, right? We just didn't know. And so he was expected to kind of be the replacement. And then next thing you know, we get the best of both worlds. We get to add Fluff, and we get to return a Devon Booth. And, of course, Seth Davis now back in good health and making a contribution too. So this Bulldog backfield is going to be one of the better ones in the Southeastern Conference. But, you know, last year, Fluff ended up being a third-team All-Sun Belt guy as a freshman. Didn't start a game, was a reserve back, played in 12 games, had 834 yards on 112 carries and 13 touchdowns. He led the Sun Belt in rushing touchdowns last year. If he gets anywhere close to that this year, it's going to be a good year. Somebody asked me earlier, what do you expect? They said, Steve, you seem to be projecting that Blake Shapen may not have 3,000 yards passing. And I don't, because I think we're going to run the football a lot more. Because I think we're capable of running the football a lot more. Love that we got Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans to join the crew. Think they're going to do some big things for us, but I think we're going to be more competitive in ball games because we're going to get more defensive stops, and as a result, we're going to be more reliant on the running game, and I expect Fluff Bothwell to do some great things. Time for your top 10 list, brought to you by CalidoGuitars.com. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars.com. They are your guitar shop, but they're not just a guitar shop. Really, any stringed instrument that you're working with, they can accommodate you. They can assist you. Great customer service before, during, and after the sale. It's a guitar shop in Lake Jackson, Texas. Next time you're down there, maybe go by and check them out. It's a Mississippi State-owned and operated company. So whether you're looking for a beginner's guitar, maybe you just want to get somebody into it, and you're thinking, I don't even know where to go buy a guitar. Well, I'm telling you now, Kalita Guitars is the way to go. You don't want to make a big investment. They have some beginner guitars and beginner guitar prices, right? You're really taking a risk to go this run to the pawn shop, right? Because of the fact, more times than not, you're going to get a guitar that's a little bit beat up. Show a real commitment to your guitar player and get them something brand new. And how many times have you ordered something online and then gotten it in and it hadn't been correct? Maybe it's not what you wanted. Maybe it's damaged. And then all of a sudden you go to your online provider and you can't get a hold of anybody. And you think, I just wish I knew somebody to call. Could I just get somebody on the phone to explain? Well, you can call Kalita Guitars. You can. And you can deal with a real person. Rather than having to deal with an AI bot or something like that, you get personal customer service from Kalita Guitars. I've got a guitar stand from them, very happy with it. At some point in the future, I'll have a guitar from them too. So beginner guitars all the way up to professional grade guitars. We went over this recently. I kind of explained that you can even get like a Josat signature model, you know, for about $3,000. And change, right? And so that's the quality of instruments that they carry. It's not just some run-of-the-mill guitar shop. This is a big-time guitar shop. This happens to be owned by some Bulldogs. So they're going to give you some incentive because we're going to keep it in the family, right? Promo code BSR. Whether you call in, stop in, or shop online, you can use that promo code. That is going to enable some rewards to be open for you. A 10% discount off your purchase price. Yeah, right out of the gate. Like, that should just be enough, but it's not. They're also going to give you free shipping. And just when you think it's over, not. No sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. On top of that, the cherry on top is a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. So not only are you getting a high-quality instrument at a discounted price, you're helping Mississippi State at the same time. What could be better? What are you waiting for? Whether you need gig bags, guitar cases, all the accessories, all the trimmings, everything you need to be a real guitar player, you can find at Kalita Guitars. All right, speaking of guitars, had a friend hit me up earlier this week and shared a video. I'm not going to reveal the name. They didn't ask for credit. But they listened to the show regularly, and I love them, have known them a long time, and said, hey, share this with me, what do you think? And I said, it's a great top 10 list. And it was somebody else's top 10 list of songs with a 12-string intro. I love the sound of a 12-string guitar. I do. Now, there are a couple songs that didn't make our list. One of them, and it may be an interesting omission, is Love Song from Tesla. I don't know for sure if it's a 12-string. I think there is some 12-string composition in there. I think so. But I have seen them play this song live many times, and Frank Cannon used a 6-string. So I didn't use that one. There's another great song that I love called Long Way / or it's Riviera / Long Way Down by the band called Cold Sweat. Mark Ferrari, of course, started that band when he left Keel. I love that, and there's a lot of songs out there that have like a great intro that's like a song that leads into a song. And so I just felt that with the Tesla Love Song and with the Cold Sweat song that perhaps that was, you know, maybe taking a liberty we shouldn't. I also did not have Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here on the list. I think you guys know my policy. I'm not a huge Pink Floyd fan. I was when I was a person that believed in chemical dependency. I also don't have Rush on here either. Not a big Rush guy. Geddy Lee's voice bothers me. They're incredible musicians, but there's just something about that. I'm sure my voice would bother Geddy Lee too. But here are my top 10 songs that have a 12-string intro. And I've ranked them basically based on the 12-string performance. There's some songs in here that are a little bit deeper on the list. And you're going to be like, Steve, that's a better song than what you've got ahead of it. Again, I'm ranking these based on what I think the 12-string adds to the track. Number 10, a song that was really, really, really kind of pushed to prominence during the movie Jerry Maguire. It was already a hit, and it became a hit a second time. It's Tom Petty's Free Fallin'. And what a shame it is that we lost Tom Petty. What a shame. Number 9, a song that didn't make a lot of other people's lists, but it makes mine. It's the band America's A Horse With No Name. I love this track. I always have. I've always loved America. And they're a band, too, that's a little bit different. You know, they're kind of folksy. And so I want to give them a shout out when we can. We've done a top 10 list of them. But A Horse With No Name is incredible. The lyrics on that are great. Absolutely great. Number 8, I had to do this one because the bride will be home at some point soon. And she loved Supertramp. That Breakfast in America album is one of her favorite of all time. And the Goo Goo Dolls covered this song, and did a great version of it too, and kind of reintroduced it to a new generation of fans. But it's Give a Little Bit from Supertramp at number 8. Number 7, we've talked about Nuno Bettencourt recently on the show, because he was part of the Back to the Beginning concert with Ozzy Osbourne, actually played the guitar solo, I think, on Ultimate Sin, and maybe Shot in the Dark, maybe. I can't remember. Lots happened since then. But you go back to the Porno Graffiti album, which was the second offering from the rock band Extreme. I loved the first album, the self-titled album with Do You Want to Play, and man, there's so much of that. Oh, my gosh, that album is so great. Kid Ego, great song. People wondered how Extreme would build upon the first album. There was no sophomore slump. I think people that love guitar loved Porno Graffiti. And Wholehearted is on there. Of course, that's the album, of course, that has a... I've drawn a blank here. You know, Saying I Love You, right? Anyway, but Wholehearted is a track. And what's interesting about this, it's going to bother me. It's going to bother me. I got to look it up. It's going to bother me. I've got this brain fart right now. It's going to bother me, and I'm going to look so stupid. It's not more than words can say. That's Alias. It's going to bother me. It is. So more than words. Yeah, more than words of Porno Graffiti. But Wholehearted, I love the 12-string part. It just elevates me emotionally. And what's interesting, there were some contemporary Christian groups and praise teams that actually kind of adopted Wholehearted as a praise song. So maybe, if you are part of a praise band and you have thought, hey, maybe one Sunday night when we're kind of shaking things up a little bit, maybe Wholehearted would be for you. Because, you know, hey, you can make the parallel. There's a hole in my heart that can only be filled by you, right? There you go. Number 6, and some people would say this is too low on the list. And again, I think it's because, number 1, the song stands on its own. I don't know that the 12-string adds a ton of significance to the song, but it's the Eagles' Hotel California. And there's a lot of people, too. I've loved watching these reels that people have tried to explain this song away, some of the lyrical content in this song. However, during that time in music, there was a lot of fascination with the occult. And this was part of that. And you go back and you look at the lyrics. Again, they've tried to kind of homogenize things a little bit later in life. But no, it was not just about some beachfront hotel in Southern California. Number 5, I love this one. I love it. I love it. I love it. I have the album cover of this tattooed on my left elbow. I forget it's there sometimes. I did when I got it done. But nevertheless, It's off the Jar of Flies album from Alice in Chains. And I don't know that this song gets enough notoriety. I really don't. Because it's, number one, an incredible song. But I think in some ways, after Layne Staley's death, it has been somewhat overshadowed by Nutshell. And listen, I'm a big fan of that too. You know, and what's interesting about that song too was just kind of a throwaway. It was like they were finishing up a recording session and he had kind of part of it together. And so they just recorded that because in a nutshell, that was how he was feeling. Of course, it doesn't say anything about, you know, Nutshell in the song. But I love this album from start to finish. Swing on This is a little bit silly, but we're talking I Stay Away from Jar of Flies. Man, the 12-string arrangement on that is just beautiful. Number four, and maybe it's because I'm still mourning the loss, but a lot of people have this on their list, and they should. But I think the highlight of this song is the guitar solo from Zakk Wylde. We're talking Ozzy Osbourne's Mama, I'm Coming Home. It starts with a 12-string. It's such a heartbreaking song, too. I mean, it truly is. If you ever went and read the lyrics to that song, have you? I mean, have you ever done it, really? I don't think you have. But we've all felt that way at some point. I think that's why the song absolutely resonates with so many of us. Number three, no list of 12-string rock performances that did not feature Richie Sambora's amazing guitar work from the Slippery When Wet album. It's Wanted, Dead or Alive from Bon Jovi. You know it. Everybody knows it. And I don't know if you know this. The original cover for that album, I think it was, yeah, the original title of the album was going to be Wanted, Dead or Alive, and they were going to dress up like in cowboy regalia. And their management was like, no, you guys aren't cowboys. This is going to go over like a turd in a punch bowl. No, we're changing this. And then it became Slippery When Wet. The original cover had a very buxom brunette that had a swimsuit on that was wet, and that was ruled to be a little bit too risque for some retailers. And so they took basically a trash bag and sprayed some water on it. And John Bon Jovi himself wrote Slippery When Wet, and that became the cover. So a big story about that third Bon Jovi album that you weren't expecting today. Number two, and again, we talk about adding something to the song. Like sometimes certain instruments are used just for the sake of using them, but they don't actually add value. I don't know that a 12-string has done more for an intro than this one. Because we talk about song composition and how it just builds. It's this wonderful melody. And then the song eventually just takes off like a roller coaster. It's Boston's More Than a Feeling. Incredible, man. That 12-string performance is elite. But number one, and I think maybe because of the fact that it comes off a little bit like a hymn to me at times, I think it's the greatest song ever written, the greatest rock song ever. And it opens up with Jimmy Page on the 12-string. He used it multiple times throughout his career, but it's Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. It begins with a 12-string, and again, just like Boston's More Than a Feeling, it builds. The best rock songs to me are the songs that have great composition that kind of pull you in and then build you up and then fade away, right? That, to me, that makes a lot of sense. There's some songs out there that just punch you in the face right out of the gate, right? Metallica has used some 12-string stuff and like some different renditions of different things. I think Nothing Else Matters is one when they re-recorded that. I think it's the Elevator mix. I think that's right. But nevertheless, there's been some changes to some things over the years. But I thought it was an interesting topic. Thank you so much for the suggestion. I hope I did the list justice. We did use some from the other list, but the order is not the same. Again, there's a couple I just pulled out of there just because I just don't like them. It's my show. So if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanthi, my friend, on X. We're hoping that he and his wife, Missy, will retire to Starkville. He is advanced in age and getting close to retirement, so we hope that's the case. And you never know, he may just sit in on the show every now and again and go over top 10 lists. It'd be nice to have a co-host on occasion, but I like to talk, so in case you didn't know. But yeah, hit Roy up on Twitter at Dogmatic67, D-A-W-G-M-A-T-I-C-67. Find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. Sometimes Roy gets behind. He does get caught up. And he always apologizes. Man, I'm getting caught up this weekend. It's cool. It's cool. We want him up there. But we're not going to – for the money that we're paying Roy, we can't complain too much, which is nothing. And Roy just volunteered to do that. I didn't know who Roy Samanthi was. And he hit me up one day and said, dude, I love a top 10 list. Let me do this for you. He has, and he's become a good friend. I think the world of him and his family. But there you go. Top 10 rock songs with a 12-string intro. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Campus Bookmart has always been there when we've needed them, and we love them for that. They love serving us because they're Bulldogs, too. Next time you're in town, go by to see their smiling faces at Campus Bookmart. You'll be glad you did. I tend to get the complimentary hug when I make a purchase. Maybe it's just me, but maybe you should try it. I'm not saying you should initiate the hug, but just see if they do when you go by there. Friendly service, whether you get the hug or not, and of course, Bulldogs through and through. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job outfitting that store in the latest in Mississippi State apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town, visit them online at campusbookmart.net, and by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, that is BSR. Beautiful Steve Robertson, that gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, since we have been together, Mississippi State has picked up another football commitment for the 2026 class. Former St. James High School out of Louisiana and current Colin offensive tackle, Jermaine Mitchell is a new Bulldog. 6'8", 310. We have talked about this extensively on the show. Cody Kennedy kind of recruited in his own image. Phil Oldholt is beginning to recruit in his own image. We talked about the size of the players that Oldholt added in the spring portal. This is along those same lines. Mitchell has the big tackle body, has the wingspan. He will play a left tackle spot this year at Colin. Will likely be competing for left tackle spot next year, if not right tackle. But he is a guy that has the athleticism to play out there on the edge. He's also a guy, too, that was pretty highly recruited. Had 11 offers, 10 more in addition to his Mississippi State option. I'll run those down for you. Colorado was one, Florida Atlantic, Georgia State, LSU, Ole Miss, Southern Miss, Troy, South Florida, UTEP, and Texas San Antonio. So good mix there, some SEC tenders. We were a little bit worried about LSU, and we still will be until this is all over and done with, just because of the fact that he is a Louisianan down there in the River Parishes, and so that's always something to consider. The River Parishes, maybe not as fervent as maybe some other places in the state, but still a lot of LSU people down there, and it's difficult to tell them no. LSU hadn't made a big push just yet. He is scheduled to visit Mississippi State November 28th and then ultimately signed there in December. So a good get for Mississippi State. And again, Phil Oldholt, I think, doing a great job. When you begin to look at the totality of the class right now, it's still a work in progress. There's still some, you know, some rankings that'll have to be adjusted. There'll probably be some, there may be some more comings and goings. I mean, you never know. And we've got, you know, we've got some guys that are still being pursued by other schools. That's something to consider too. You know, we win some ball games. There may be some doors open for us then that are not open now. Of course, we're still kind of chasing T.J. White. But the Bulldog class currently 44th in the country, and it's going to take a lot of work to get in the top 30. And, of course, State going to save some spots for the portal, too. But 28 commitments in the class, and now two from the junior college ranks. You know, Matt Mayfield, we discussed his commitment not too long ago, but then Jermaine Mitchell now. So two JUCO commitments in a matter of 2 weeks. Pretty significant. Both, I think, will be good contributors at Mississippi State. But also, too, along the same line with Jermaine Mitchell, you know, this is a guy – a lot of people have shown interest in. That won't stop, okay? Caleb Morris, we mentioned him, is a guy that could potentially be on flip watch away from Mississippi State. He is out of Sims, Alabama, Mary G. Montgomery High School. and has set up a visit to Auburn now. We were told late last week some possibilities, hadn't firmed up a date. Now he has. And so now he is going to visit Auburn. That's going to be something we're going to have to contend with. And I remember when he committed, you know, some people were like, well, I just don't know about this. I think what you're going to see, and not a ton of them, but you're going to see a handful of guys get some additional options down the stretch. It's going to probably make you feel a little bit better about their commitment. Mike Nickerson is one out of South Pike High School. I love his film. I do. I absolutely love his film. He's going to need a year in the weight room to get a little bit better, probably 2 years away from being a significant contributor. But Nickerson has picked up the offer from Missouri since the commitment to Mississippi State. There will be some more of that. Jaden Hill, of course, the Long Bulldog named to the Dandy Dozen. Been a while since we could say that as one Mississippi State commitment in a Dandy Dozen. And again, that's kind of underscores our concern about this particular recruiting class. It is a great year in-state, and we are not getting the better players here. Jaden Hill, undervalued as a prospect, but a Dandy Dozen nonetheless. But he is talking about potentially taking official visits to Ole Miss and Auburn as well. Visited Arkansas. Doesn't appear that he's, you know, serious about anybody else, but as long as guys are committing, you kind of hold your breath, or visiting, you kind of hold your breath a little bit. But the reality of it is the key to better recruiting, it's not necessarily a chicken and egg sort of thing. It feels that way. But you got to go out there and give people something to believe in. It can't just be a promise, per se. You can't just say, hey, this is what we're going to do. You got to be able to say, this is what we've done. So this football program has got to take a big step forward this year. People ask me all the time, you know, what do you think is fair? Well, 5 or 6 wins. I think that is fair. And if you get to 6 in year 2 with Jeff Levy, I think that will help you significantly. And Levy has an athletic director, of course, that believes in him. And, of course, they're still in, you know, in the background, this whole thing about the Oklahoma AD search, right? If in the event that Zach Selman would leave and go to Oklahoma, what would that mean for Jeff Levy? Would you bring in a new athletic director and then he may have different feelings about the direction of the football program? Those are all things that have to be considered. But in order for us to do better with high school recruiting, we've got to do better on the football field. And so you've got to go out and get all these junior college and portal guys. Those guys have got to go out there and show that, hey, you can believe in this staff. They're going to do some good things. And then in time, I think that gives you the opportunity to maybe pick up some flips late. I still believe that this football program is going to pick off a game that many are not expecting to. I think they're going to get somebody, you know, somebody that people aren't expecting. I firmly believe that to be the case. I can't pinpoint who that'll be yet. You know, we never know what people are going to look like by the time we play them, what kind of shape they're going to be in, what the belief in their own team and program are by the time we suit it up and play against them. That's an important aspect of it, right? You know, how teams look today are not how they're going to look in 2 months, you know. But Jeff Levy's got to make sure Mississippi State is looking good. I believe we're going to be able to score. And I do think we're going to be better defensively. And as Greg McElroy asked me this morning, well, how much better is better? You know, I think if you can move top 75, you feel great about this team. But I think one of the things that people forget is just how bad we were defensively and what a lack of depth that we had. And we had some guys, too, that we were expecting big years from that really underperformed. So we need all these other guys to come in here, because you think about it, if you are a Mississippi State defensive lineman and you show up in the Southeastern Conference this year and you're part of a turnaround, considering how bad things were last year, it's going to get you noticed. It is going to get pro scouts to say, okay, well, maybe this guy's got a little more than we thought. It gives a lot of these guys, too, to step up in competition and prove themselves against better competition. So they have something to play for. It's not just here. Hey, I'm just here for the NIL money. I'm just here for the rev share. If you have pro aspirations, you've got to go into the season thinking, I've got to go put the best year of my life on the field and put it on tape to prolong my playing career. In turn, they win games. They increase the exuberance of the fans into this program. That trickles down to recruits too. Then it's easier to say, okay, hey, Mississippi State's getting this thing figured out. And there are some guys out there that are committed to out-of-state schools that seriously have considered committing to Mississippi State, we have to give them a reason to do so. So I don't expect to go JUCO heavy, right? I think it won't be like last year. You know, we took a bunch of JUCOs last year basically to rebuild a two deep, right? We wanted to go get those guys to be rotation guys and then go in the portal and get potential starters. We've done that, okay? Now it's just we got to give it time to see if it works. That was our strategy. Feels like we did a good job. Yeah, but we'll see. You know, I don't expect a lot of these junior college guys from last year to make big contributions this year. And I didn't think it when they committed. But I thought they could still serve a purpose, right? They could be a guy to get you 10, 15 snaps a game. They could be a guy that helps out on special teams and saves some wear and tear on your players. But there are some guys like Tony Mitchell, we expect him to come in and compete for a starting spot. He was a little bit banged up in the spring, but when he was out there, he really flashed. Saquon Miles is a guy, too, that sometimes we forget about. You know, we talk about all these guys who went and got in the portal. Saquon's a 6'6", 300-pounder. Jermarcus Moy is a guy we really just kind of took on potential. And watching him in practice, you can tell he's behind some of the guys. 6'4", 320. Probably a guy, when you get in your goal line set and you get in your short yardage set, he's probably part of that. You don't want to put him right now in a situation where he's got to read and react. Just go out there and just make a pile. He's capable of doing that. So there's a role for him in that regard, and I think that's an important aspect of it. LaKendrick James is a guy. I've loved LaKendrick James as a prospect since he was at Northside High School. I think this is a guy that nobody's really talking about. I don't expect him to start. I do expect him to show some flashes this year. Emeka Aloy, a tight end, that's a guy that looks the part right now. Still kind of figuring it out. It's been a while since he played significant football, obviously. But when you got a guy at 6'9", 250 that moves around, it's an athlete, you take a chance on that. But he's got to step it up. He does. Mason Clinton, of course, transferred out, is now at Southern Miss. And there's Amarion Jett Jefferson. Jett Johnson leaves, and we get Jett Jefferson in here. Jett's a guy that's competing for a starting spot at corner. A lot of good reports about him. There's Jakeem Shumpert, 6'5", 325-pound offensive lineman. Could be a two-deeper. I think he probably ends up a guard, maybe right tackle, but likely guard. But again, you sign him hoping that he is a rotation guy. You sign him not expecting him to start this year, maybe perhaps next year, right? You bring in some of these JUCO guys, let them acclimate, portal guys leave, and then all of a sudden you've got these JUCO guys that have at least 1 year of eligibility, depending on how this Pavi ruling goes. And then you've kind of acquitted yourself, not just for this year, but next year. And you got Jabri Stewart. Love him. I think he is probably a special teams guy. I don't think he's a guy that's going to do a ton of stuff on the field with the first team defense by any stretch. But you go get a guy like that that can run and hit and maybe play later in some ball games for you. That's a significant development. Matthew LaFoe, of course, I would have loved it better if he'd been here in the spring. And that's a guy that had a ton of offers, too. The rankings don't reflect that. As I've shared many times, offers and rankings are not necessarily mutually aligned. It's difficult to confirm committable offers. But LaFoe is a guy that didn't get here until summer. A lot of other offensive linemen did, too. But he's 6'5", 350. You know, so there's a lot to work with. Then there's Montrell Chapman, a guy that we liked him out of South Panola, and he ends up down at Perk, and that's another guy, too, that we expect at the very least to be just kind of a rotation guy with the linebackers, but also, too, a special teams guy. And so I don't think a lot of our fans fully appreciated last year how depleted we were talent-wise. That's why you go get a Montrell Chapman, you go get a Matthew LaFoe, you go get a Jabri Stewart. It's because you need some guys that can play special teams. You need some guys that can develop. You need some guys that perhaps – have multiple years of eligibility left. And again, they may not be difference makers this year, but they could be very solid contributors next year. But everybody's going to have a role in some respect. Now, when I look at Jermaine Mitchell, I look at him as a guy that comes right in and competes. And it's just kind of – remember Martinez Rankin? Do you remember him? considered by many to be the number one junior college offensive tackle in the country. And, of course, he went to the National Football League after he got done at Mississippi State. But John Hennessy told him, if you're not starting, you're redshirting. Well, he redshirted. Best thing ever happened to him. Best thing that ever happened to him. And then he becomes an NFL player. And John Hennessy did the guy a solid. You know, hey, I'm going to give you the incentive. You can start or you can redshirt. But I'm not going to waste a year of eligibility with you kind of get mop-up time. There's some guys this year that may be in a similar situation. You know, we got a lot of guys that are going to be leaving us at the end of the year. But you've got some guys, too, that have eligibility back that could allow you to maybe not be quite as reliant on the portal. And we've got to get off that. We've got to get off that train. It's number one, it's incredibly expensive. Number two, we don't have a lot to sell right now. I know for us, we love Mississippi State. But when you're trying to go out there and recruit a player that doesn't know anything about you and doesn't have any connections to you, it's a tough sell when you're 2-10. You know, you're really selling opportunity and you're selling rev share. But when guys out there have opportunities to go elsewhere for winning programs and say, hey, you get your bowl bonus, get your bowl gifts and things of that nature, chance to play winning football, you know, it's difficult to compete against that. So winning cures everything. Simply put, winning cures everything. You got to go win. Guys will not go get in the portal unless you ask them to. You know, if they feel like they've got a home here and they're building towards something, they're going to hang around. You're going to get better talent out of the portal. You're going to get better talent out of the high school ranks. But there is a plan in place, and the first couple of phases of that have now been implemented to make this a better football team. Now, just looking ahead too, we will have media availability tomorrow. The Bulldogs were on the practice field today, but there is no media availability today. We will have media availability on Thursday, none on Friday. And then Saturday we have the scrimmage, and so post-scrimmage we'll have the opportunity to speak to Jeff Lebby just to kind of see where things stand. Which reminds me, this Friday night, me and the buddy Eric Luttrell are going to be at the Howl & Mouths show to benefit the Mississippi Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Our buddies and Storage 24 will be headlining that show. It's $7 at the door, and also doing $25 flash tattoos. All proceeds go to benefit the Mississippi Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Going to be a good show at Howl & Mouths, legendary venue in our state. I mean, there's been so many amazing artists that have played there. So we're going to be there. Come hang with us. And then we'll be right back in Starkville on Saturday in time for the Jeff Lebby presser. Again, we don't get to see the scrimmages. I wish we did, but we don't. But it's important to kind of understand kind of how all this stuff works. Now, one of the things I'm hearing, too, when we get into the season, we're only going to have a couple media opportunities, right? You have Lebby, then you have your players, and then, of course, postgame. Right? So that's it. And so it's important that everybody understands we're not getting a ton of media opportunities as we get into the season. My hope is, as Mississippi State begins to play more, that maybe that loosens up a little bit. But the reality of it is once you kind of get on a schedule, you stay on a schedule. And we cover Mississippi State on Mississippi State's terms. That's not to say that we just sit back and take it if we don't think we're getting enough access. We make our voices known, but we're not going to go, you know, raise a big stink and cause problems for the administration. And we'll just say, hey, we wish we had more access. What if we did this? What if we did this? What if we came to practice and we all agreed not to report on injuries or fights or whatever, you know? We're still building a relationship, you know, with the staff. They've been here for a while, too. But in many respects, they've kind of been in a bunker, I guess you could say. You know, like we only get the assistant coaches one time a year. That's interesting, right? There's some other programs that do that. But I think when you're trying to build some momentum and build some enthusiasm in your fan base, you probably needed a little more of that. You need to let people get excited. We have some very well-spoken coaches, too, that do a good job. But, you know, Jeff Lebby wants to be the voice of the program, and it is his program, and he is the steward of our program, and so we're going to respect what he does. But the reality of it is all of this other stuff is just details. This is the minutia of media, right? What matters most, I want Jeff Lebby to do his best talking in a post-game press conference after a Bulldog win, right? What we talk about on Monday kind of sets you up for the week. And one of the things, too, that I can tell you And a lot of people don't want to talk about this because it hurts your feelings. But I can tell you, outside of a couple questions on Monday about the previous game, that's pretty much all there should be. And I can tell you that people just want to move on. Hey, Coach, can you update us on any injuries from the weekend? Coach, after watching the tape, what'd you see? What'd you think? And that's it. We don't need to go back. Hey, Coach, what were you thinking on this third and 15 play? You want to ask those questions, go to the game. You can ask it in postgame. When we get into Monday, it's a new week. And so we're talking about the – I've been in press conferences before where that's the only question, you know, is about what happened last week. And I have watched and transcribed postgame or Monday press conferences with other programs that they don't even ask any questions about Mississippi State. So I don't want you to think this is like an indictment on our own beat. It's just college football media as a whole. You know, especially when a team gets a big win, that's all they're thinking about, especially when Mississippi State is next on the schedule. You got to believe when you're playing Alabama, the media is going to ask a lot of questions about that. But again, it's the disrespect we talk about. We're going to have to earn respect. At the end of the day, we're not running for office. We're trying to go win some football games. So the opinion polls of the rest of the media around the country are of no consequence. But you got to go win games. Simple as that. We have made the financial commitment. We have made the scholarship allocations available and certainly all the rev share to turn this football program around. And kind of going back to the first segment of the show, you know, I'm starting to kind of get a little football fever. And I'm actually eager for the time of change so so it gets dark a little bit sooner. You know, and I like it when the temperatures change. It hadn't been that bad a summer here, I don't think. It hadn't been nearly as bad as normal to me, but I spent a lot of time inside. But all that understood, I'm ready for football season to get here. I'm ready to feel that chill in the air that kind of lets you know football season is here. You know what I'm talking about. You know how it feels, and that's what everybody says. Hey, they don't say, hey, this is autumn weather. They go, man, this is football weather, right? You live in the South, you understand how that works. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without any question, especially if you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. We say it all the time, we don't get together enough. Well, what better place to do it in your favorite town? Maybe it's your home away from home. Starkville's made some good memories for you. Go make some more, right? Doesn't matter if it's a college roommate's reunion or perhaps, sorority sister's reunion. There's plenty of parking out there for everybody to come have a good time. 6 bedrooms, 3 baths, full service kitchen, wet bar area, back porch, incredible fire pit area. And conversations around a fire pit are just more meaningful. I can't explain why that is. It just is. It's how life works. We stayed there. We had a great time. We were there for New Year's. May do it again this year. We'll see how it goes. But it was so great to have everybody under one roof. All the kids, all the grandkids, just to be a family again. Because we've outgrown. I've got a big house out in the country. But you know what? As the kids leave, they tend to bring people back with them, right? And so it's pretty easy to outgrow the house. Yeah, I mean, right now it's like a 2-bedroom deal, you know, 2-room deal for us. It's kind of the office and then the bedroom. And occasionally the kitchen. You know, we get some other rooms we don't use anymore because nobody's here. It's so nice to get them together and make some new memories. It's true. You owe it to yourself to do it, to be the linchpin in your circle of friends or your family. I can tell you now, Mom would love to get up and cook breakfast for everybody. She would. She would. Or maybe you can do it for her and give her the morning off. But nevertheless, I can tell you, we had a blast. You will too. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can look at all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests. Guys, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. That's how close it is. Whether it's a ball game weekend, maybe it's a work retreat. I don't know your needs, but you can get them met at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Part of that Google search is going to bring up some booking options. You're going to have Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website with promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson and the number 10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. Look at you getting a discount, the Ken Folks discount at Starkville's premier place to stay, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, next weekend is a big weekend for your good friend and host and For those of you lucky enough, or maybe fortunate enough, to get tickets, you know, the Party Animals are coming to Stark Vegas. A couple of shows, right? A couple of shows. Gonna be super cool, right? I don't know if you guys have kept up with this at all, but yeah, that's gonna be a cool thing. Gonna be a really cool thing to be able to have the opportunity to have a fun event at the Dude. August 22nd, Friday. August 23rd, Saturday. We'll be there Friday night. And looking forward to that for sure. And again, many of you I know were not able to get tickets and you're bummed about that. So it's going to be a huge crowd and it's going to be a very interesting event. And I think it's a cool thing. You know, last year we had the Hardy concert, which nothing against Hardy. I love Hardy. But we had some patrons that kind of caused some damage to the suites. We don't expect that to happen with this. But again, anytime that we get a chance to get together as a family and celebrate on the Mississippi State campus, it's a great thing. I mentioned Friday because Saturday we're having our first band rehearsal for the music project we're working on to promote awareness of the 988 suicide prevention hotline. I can tell you it's been incredible, the amount of support. I've been rehearsing to the point that I got a little bit raspy, had to take a couple days off, but we'll be full-fledged next week getting ready. Got some very talented musicians who are going to be a part of this. Our buddy Ryan Purser, formerly a four-way stop. He's with a new band now out of Louisiana. Ryan's going to be a part of this. Of course, Eric Luttrell, the former frontman of Brouhaha, and he and I have some other things that we're going to work on after this is over. And of course, Matt from Storage 24 and my buddy Blake Dees, also going to play drums from formerly of Blacktop Ridge. And we've got another guitar player too. We're expecting, you know, we've had a commitment there, but we'll see how things go. But we're going to get together and do something that we believe is meaningful and important. And many of you think that it's important too. I've gotten probably 100 messages of support. Many of them from people that have lost someone they love to suicide. And that just makes it more meaningful to be purposeful. And that's what I sent a couple of these messages to Eric Luttrell. And he's like, dude, I was already 100% in. But after reading these and seeing the importance of this, I can't wait to get going. And I can't wait to get going too. And I'm not getting back in as a full-time musician. I'm not doing that. I owe it to myself to at least give it a chance to do something fun every once in a while, right? It can't all just be work. I work all the time. This is a different kind of work. And along those lines, this kind of brings me to kind of some of my final points of the show. We have to make life worth living, okay? There is more to life than just paying the mortgage and raising kids. I got a lot of people that have kind of fallen into that, you know, and it's all of a sudden, you look up one day and 25 years has gone by. And I think that is a contributing factor to a lot of this middle-aged mental illness in many respects. I think a lot of people look at this and think, you know what, I just thought there was going to be more to it. You know, the truth of the matter is, it is what you make it. It truly is. And it's not about what you intend to do, it's about what you do. You know, like the old expression, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, you say, hey, we need to do this, and then you never do it, right? And so having the thought really accomplishes nothing. There's so many people, you know, you hear that all the time. Well, it's a thought that counts. Well, not in matters like this. You got to get out and go do something. I read all this stuff about, you know, the glow up and things like that, and it's just the same old thing. You know, one of my favorite things, you know, it's like, Happy New Year, new me. You know, it's, you know, same person. Nothing changes. Nothing changes unless nothing changes. You have to change it. And sometimes life will change it for you, but more times than not, when life is in charge, when you're living life on life's terms, it can be a very negative change within your life. You got to put in the work. You do. And I'm the kind of person I always need something to look forward to. I do. If I don't, I get depressed. I do. Is this all there is? You know, I've dealt with a little writer's block at times. And then all of a sudden that becomes a big part of your identity. You know, and it's like, hey, if I can't do this, who am I? Right? That's an important aspect of it. And you get so caught up in so much of leading an accidental life. And so I share that with you. Make some plans. Do something of value. Get out and enjoy life a little bit. Don't just sit around watching Netflix all the time, DoorDash and food. Some days that's the greatest day of my life, right? When you just kind of take a day to yourself. You know, when Dana was home after travel nursing and we were getting ready to get True Rest up and running, I loved having her here. Loved it. I mean, I married her because I like her, right? But just having her here every day, I thought, man, wouldn't it be great, man, if I could make enough money where she didn't have to do anything? But I think, she'd probably be miserable in a while because I work so much. She'd just be sitting around watching TV, doing the laundry, whatever, you know. But the reality of it is sometimes you need those veg days, right? Just be a couch potato, as we used to call ourselves. Sometimes you need that. You know, just sit down one Saturday morning, don't even shave, don't even get dressed. Just watch college football all day, DoorDash some food. You need those days every once in a while, but that can't be a way of life. I just think you need something to look forward to. And Heath Hutchins and I, former punter at State and now model, international model, we had that discussion one time online. I'm the kind of person, as is Heath, I need something to look forward to. And so this show, this Friday, with our buddy Fred and Matt and the guys in Storage 24, I'm jacked. Friday can't get here soon enough. I'm jacked. And there's so much that happens in the Mississippi State schedule that kind of keeps us busy. And I look forward to all that too. But what's life without a little whimsy? What's life without getting out there and taking some chances? And one of the things that long-term recovery has taught me is not to be fearful of failure. I used to be scared to death to really try anything. And I was like, well, they're just going to make fun of me. So what? So what? Right? And there's so many of us that have these grand dreams and we never really try them because of fear of failure. And I just would assert today, one of the most biggest turning points in my life was writing Flim Flam. It was, and I remember so many times, like the 2 weeks before it came out, I wanted to vomit every day. I was like, I have absolutely screwed up my life. I've made such a huge deal about this. I'm probably going to get sued. And you know what happened is when that book came out, you guys bought it like hotcakes. And I had so many people that messaged me and said, Steve, this is one of, if not the best book I've ever read. And I don't know if I believe that. I believe maybe you've got some, connection to me because we're all Bulldogs, right? And you were happy about the subject matter. I get it. But it changed who I was as a person. And it's just like as I begin to get ready to go into this music project, there's some parts of me that feel like I did writing Flim Flam. It's like this could be a life-changing deal in some respects because, as I've shared with you guys before, music is the one thing that I have not reclaimed from addiction. That's it, right? I put a band together. Eric Carter, Clay Pittman, and I put a band together. Billy Davis, Shelby Stogner, put a band together, and our gear got stolen, and I said, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. You know what, I was part of a band before, ended up going to jail and drug rehab, part of a band again, our stuff gets stolen. Maybe this just isn't for me. And I think maybe, in hindsight, it just wasn't the time. Like, I had to go out and do some other things, right? But the reality of it is I don't expect anything more than just to get together with some good dudes and play some music, right? I mean, it's simple as that. And I think I owe that to myself. My question to you is, what do you owe to yourself? And, of course, you can't answer me, but what do you owe? What have you dreamed of? Because sometimes, all of a sudden, we get married and we start having kids, and then everybody else's dreams become our dreams. What are your dreams for yourself? I mean, we're empty nesters now. Am I just going to just sit around waiting for the phone to ring and one of the kids to call? You know? Just sit around waiting for that picture of the grandkids to show up in the fam chat? I mean, there's more to life than that. And that's the way that I've kind of approached this whole empty nester thing, is the fact that this gives me, number one, it feels like Dan and I are dating again, but also, two, the next step in that process is, well, what am I going to do with my time left? And you say, Steve, you're so young. Why are you thinking in those terms? Because how else should I think? Am I just going to sit around and just count the days away? Dan and I were talking about this the other day. It's like the older you get, the faster time really goes. It's crazy. I mean, like, it's nuts to think. I remember sitting here at this microphone, and I was absolutely miserable and probably worse than I maybe let on during the show when she wasn't here. I was miserable. I was miserable without her. And I tried to do the best I could for her so she didn't feel guilty, right, for being gone, because she wanted to go travel nurse. And then we found out it wasn't for us. It wasn't just me. I remember one conversation that I called her, and I was like, we got to make a decision. I said, either I'm going to sell the company and sell the house and follow you around the country, or you got to stop travel nursing. But I'm not going to live like this anymore. And I'm in it. And she goes, no, I don't want you to get rid of the house. I always want a place we can call home. And I said, well, I'm not going to live without you. I'm not. So we got to figure out how we're going to do this. And of course, you know, egos get involved as well. We'll make the best of it. And I was like, you don't understand how bad things are here. And honestly, it was a better deal for her, right? I mean, I got all these dogs to take care of. And I had a kid at home. And, you know, she just had to see about herself. It's true. I'm sure it was a lot less trouble worrying about one person, right? A lot less laundry to do. If you don't feel like cooking, you don't have to. You know, there's not all these expectations on you. But about a week later, she called me and just kind of burst into tears and just said, I want to come home. And so I share that with you just because of the fact I think it's important to understand we can put ourselves in a very bad situation. And we may have the best of intentions, because like the whole thing started with us. It's like there was like a job offer to travel nurse in like North Dakota for like $6,100 a week. Well, of course, that's just like the lead item, right? Oh, well, that job's already been filled, but we've got this job for $4,000 a week. And you're thinking, okay, well, that's more than I'm making here. But you know what? Those people that do that kind of stuff, it's a commitment, right? I mean, it really is a single person's game. It really is. And I share that with you, not to be disrespectful. There's some other people that travel nurse and they're reasonably close to home and just get a chance to make some more money. But cross the country type stuff, I've spent more time in New Mexico than I ever wanted to. And so I think it's important for all of us as we begin to think about another football season, think about another holiday season, is let's make it the best it possibly can. Right? Don't sit at home this year during football season saying, well, I'm not going to go because they're not going to be any good. Right? I don't expect them to be good. You know what's going to happen? We're going to win a game you're not expecting. And you're going to wish you were there. Not to mention, think about your kids. Pack the car. Go make some memories. The holiday season is going to be here, and you always think, well, I'm never good at the Christmas card thing. We never do this. Well, why not be good at it this year? Why not make a commitment this year? Hey, you know what? I'm going to reach out to people. And maybe you don't have the money to do the postcards. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's too much of a financial commitment. But you know what you can do? You can take a picture, and you can share it with people on social media. You can take that picture. That didn't cost you anything to use Facebook. And so I think it's important that we have an open dialogue about these sorts of things, because I'm a firm believer the middle-aged depression aspect of it is tough. It can be really tough. And I think sometimes we forget about we're in control of a lot of things. Everybody wants to go take a pill, and some people want to go to therapy, and all those things can be beneficial. But there are a lot of things that we can do to bring joy to our lives. When you have crippling depression, those things become a real challenge. So I'm going to ask you to really address those things. But with football season coming up, and football season may make you depressed. I don't know. But I can tell you this. I've always felt good about the memories I've made with my children. We had a discussion just the other day when Mia and I were having dinner. She's leaving for Harvard this weekend. And we were talking about the time that we surprised Ian, her youngest brother, by taking him. We said we were going to eat at this real fancy restaurant, and we stopped somewhere in DeSoto County, and it wasn't really part of the trip. Like, it just happened to be a place to stop, and to hear him say it, we stopped at this little mid restaurant, and it was good. It wasn't great, but it was good. But we get to Memphis, and I said, let's just go walk around and go see some things. And I told him, let's go buy you a Grizzly shirt. And the next thing you know, he sees the entrance to the FedEx Forum, and he's all jacked, and he goes, "Hey, that's where the Grizzlies play. I want to get my picture made." And I said, "Well, let's go get you a jersey." And the next thing you know, Dad's got tickets. And we bring him for his first ever NBA game. And it meant so much to me to be able to do that, because it was a difficult time in my life. But I think back to that, about how special that was for him, that me and him and his sisters were there and had great seats to watch the Grizzlies play and win, and what it means to him that I made the effort and I allocated the resources to make a dream of his come true. And the best way that I have found to make myself feel better is to do something for somebody else. And it doesn't always have to be somebody I love. But sometimes I'll be, you know, be at the coffee shop and I'll just pay for the person next to me. You know, I want to pay for theirs too. You know, I go to the, I brew it forward sometimes, you know, just because of the fact that when you have it, how nice it is to help somebody else. I was back home the other day and I saw a guy I hadn't seen since high school, and life hadn't been fair to him. And, you know, he was behind me in line and he didn't recognize me. And I said, "Hey, it's Steve." We get it talking. I tell the cashier, "I'm going to pay for this too." You know, and it's not that, you know, it's not about the money, right? It's about doing something nice for somebody else. So again, I didn't plan to spend so much time on this, but maybe somebody out there needs to hear this. That's going to do it for today. You can get an annual subscription to jeanspage.com right now for 50% off the annual subscription price. Now's a good time to jump on board. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Dial 662-268-7601. Speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. And she'll answer any questions you may have. She's a registered nurse. You know, she's got a lot of know-how about medical things, things you may want to know. But, you know, maybe you just need a break. We can help you with that, for sure. And then visit dutynoblebook.com. Get signed copies of all of my sports titles and When the Bottom Falls. And it's a book I get more questions about than anything else. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends and enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.